Good afternoon. My name is Carl Cox. I'm a private attorney appointed by the Clackamas County Board of Commissioners as Land Use Hearings Officer with authority to conduct this hearing and make a determination in this matter. This is the file of Z0206-22-SS. This is an appeal of an approved subdivision and planned unit development, a short subdivision. The initial application was to divide a roughly two and a half acre site zoned R10 into 10 lots for detached dwellings. Associated with the project was is an open space tract and some additional improvements. For the record, this is a quasi-judicial land use hearing, which means two important things for those participating in this hearing. First, all of the criteria that can be used in reaching a decision have been identified in the staff report. Testimony, arguments, and evidence must be directed towards the criteria identified in the staff report or other relevant criteria found in the comprehensive plan or other land use regulation that the person believes applies to the decision. Accordingly, please direct your testimony to a relevant approval criterion. Second, failure to raise an issue accompanied by statements or evidence sufficient to afford the decision maker and the parties an opportunity to respond to the issue may preclude appeal to the Oregon Land Use Board of Appeals on that issue. Failure of the applicant to raise constitutional or other issues relating to proposed conditions of approval with sufficient specificity to allow the local government or its designee to respond to the issue precludes an action for damages in circuit court. Once final, this decision may be appealed to the Oregon Land Use Board of Appeals. I will also state for the record that I have not received any ex parte contact in this matter, meaning no one contacted me outside of these proceedings to try to persuade me concerning a fact or an issue present in this matter. I had an opportunity to download and review the hearing packet that was prepared and posted online by the county for this hearing. I've also considered considered issues of bias and conflict of interest and have determined I do not have any bias or conflict of interest in this matter. Prior to the end of the close of the record, I will discuss anyone's request to keep the record open. I'll make that clear at the end of the hearing. All right. The order of proceedings will be first, I'll ask Mr. Blessing to provide an explanation concerning participation in the Zoom, in this hearing via the Zoom platform. And then I'll ask the county to, I believe the county has a staff report and other information to submit to the record. So I'll ask the county to submit that at that time. After that, I will ask that the appellant, Mr. Fitzgerald, have an opportunity to present evidence, including testimony and legal argument concerning the appeal filed in this matter. And then I will give the applicant an opportunity to do likewise and also to provide a rebuttal. Are there any questions before we proceed with Mr. Blessing's explanation? Please proceed, Mr. Blessing.
Okay, thank you. This public hearing will be conducted virtually using the Zoom platform. Panelists for today's hearing, which include the hearings officer, county staff, and the applicant, have both audio and video capability. Audience members who have joined the meeting will have their mics muted unless they wish to testify, in which case they will be called upon to do so by the county staff moderator. Audience members' video will not be turned on at any time. Today's hearing is being recorded as required by law. The county will make every effort to post the recording on the county website later today. There is a designated time during the hearing when it will be open for testimony. The hearings officer will make it clear when this is. If you want to provide testimony, you will utilize the raise hand feature. For attendees on PC and iPad, you have a raise hand button on the Zoom bar. It's in the top or the bottom, depending on the device. When the moderator switches you over to provide testimony, your screen will look different for a little while. Primarily, you will see all participants' cameras, not just the one who is speaking. Staff will call upon you when it is time for you to provide testimony. Be sure to provide your name and mailing address when you begin. Once you have provided your testimony, your mic will be muted and your screen will be returned to normal. If the record is left open at the end of this hearing and you wish to submit additional written testimony, email written testimony to bblessing@clackamas.us or mail it to Clackamas County Planning and Zoning Division, 150 Beaver Creek Road, Oregon City, Oregon, 97045. The staff contact email address is also available on the webpage where you found the Zoom link for today's hearing. Testimony must be received by 4 p.m. on the day the record closes. People who testified and provide their mailing address will receive a copy of the hearings officer's written decision. If you do not wish to testify but would like to receive the decision, you must provide your email or standard mailing address by either email to the staff contact for the application or by entering it in the Zoom chat function during the hearing. Thank you. And do you want me to go right into the presentation, Mr. Cox?
Yes, please.
Okay. Okay, my name is Ben Blessing. I'm with Clackamas County Planning and Zoning. This is an appeal of the planning director's decision for file Z0206-22, short subdivision, and an associated plan unit development, as well as Z0207-22, Z028-22, and Z0209-22, which is a series of habitat conservation area permits. That's just a vicinity map to orient where the property is. It's at the corner of Webster Road and Roots Road, just north of the city of Gladstone. Obviously, the Kellogg Creek is the stream that runs along the southern edge of the property. That's a bird's eye view of the site. It's generally cleared. It's generally flat. This is just the overall subdivision plan and just some general comments. You have a 10-lot subdivision. You have a planned unit development, so you have smaller lots. There's flexibility in the lot sizes and the dimensional standards, and that's to preserve the environmental resources on site in Tract A, which includes the habitat conservation area, which will be discussed a little bit more in the subsequent slide, but also contains the stormwater facility. Some highlights. The subdivision will use the Columbia Land Trust model and shall provide affordable home ownership. There is a transit line, TriMet transit line. This is a planned unit development, and there again provides flexibility in lot sizes, allowing smaller lots than generally permitted in the R10 zoning district, while preserving environmentally sensitive areas and natural hazard areas, such as the floodplain, within Tract A. Also, proposed private road, Tract B, that'll serve each lot. The private road will have sidewalks on one side. Roots Road will also have full frontage improvements. Typical of that road, which includes sidewalk, curb, landscape strip. And then Webster Road, as discussed in the staff decision, will require right-of-way dedication only. The habitat conservation area permits is basically the habitat conservation area is an overlay that's regulated by 706 that implements Title 13 of Metro's plan, and the applicant has modified the HCA boundary based on ZDO section 706.09 subsection 3. The figure was modified and is figure 2, basically. That's also noted in the staff report, which is essentially runs in line with the West water quality buffer. But overall, the HCA boundary will not be disturbed. As being modified, it will not be disturbed, and it also Tract A will contain the HCA, as it will contain the west buffer, the special flood hazard area known as the floodplain, and any open space on site. So the tract is serving as basically just an open space area that will not provide further redevelopment in the future. Will contain the sensitive overlays and have the water quality facility as well. So there again is the HCA boundary. And again, you can see the special flood hazard area will not be encroached with this development. The lots will remain northerly of the special flood hazard area, and there won't be really any encroachments therein. The reasons for appeal, specific ZDO criteria has not been identified. The appellant notes that formation of a citizen planning organization, or CPO, is being explored to have a community voice, and that there are unanswered questions about the development. My the recommendation obviously is still just the staff decision as approved, and I'll modify the last slide. That's a typo left over from something else. So that's all I have. Thank you.
Okay. Okay. I'd like to provide an opportunity for the appellant, Mr. Fitzgerald, to submit evidence, testimony, and to describe the basis of the grounds for the appeal.
Thank you very much. My name's Tom Fitzgerald. I reside at 16205 Southeast Webster Road. And very nervous joining here on Zoom with all these professionals who really know what they're talking about. And I'm just sort of here with my thoughts and feelings. So forgive me if I, can't speak to the code as well as everyone is here. I just want to start off by saying, I got a little note here. I just want to start off by saying thank you very much to Clackamas County for arranging this, and for Ben and everyone on the team have been really helpful for the neighbors, the community, just trying to navigate this and get information. And the quick little update here. Yes, I personally have gone and sort of spoken to as many of the neighbors as I could to sort of collect the information and to just articulate it in a half a page comment here. And I will sort of say that we have engaged Clackamas County to look at activating the Clackamas CPO, which is currently inactive. Obviously, we couldn't get that done in time for this. We have also reached out to the sheriff's records department, and they actually just emailed me this morning. We had asked for records of traffic related accidents within a quarter mile of this junction, which I'm talking to. I will pass that on to Ben at the end of this. And unless anyone has any questions, I just got a short statement that I'll read out. Okay. I just sort of want to start off that the want to make it clear that the neighborhood and myself, we're not looking to stop the development. We think it's a great idea. Oregon needs affordable housing. Our comments are really related to the traffic and the safety. And in particular, we are concerned of the well-being of the families who will be moving into these 10 units. And the concerns that the community and I are feeling is something that we live with, because it's our neighborhood. And to sort of get to the specifics, it's to do with the what's currently a three-way junction where Southeast Webster and Roots come together. Right now it's just a three-way stop sign. And to give you a bit more information about this corner, we have incredible amounts of speeding, high traffic, a series of accidents, and this happens day and night. And the concern is that because this is an area, as you know, that has no streetlights, no sidewalks, that moving 10 families, let's just say, you know, 50 people, possibly 20, 30 children, that they might fall victim to an accident. And to give you a bit more sort of background information here, this particular corner, the neighbor who lives right there at this corner, he's had his fence smashed in several times. The power pole, electric pole, was replaced in the last year. We have car pieces, glass, plastic littered all along Webster and Roots. And it goes from the where Roots meets Webster around the corner to where it hits Jennings. Go have a walk. It's just glass and plastic smashed everywhere. And the some of the neighbors there have worked with Bilquist School to stop the children from walking along routes to get to the school. It got to the point where the neighbors were picking up the children in their own cars to sort of pick them up and drop them off. And I'm sort of telling you all this to sort of give you an understanding of how we're feeling, and hoping to pass this across to just make sure that this area is sort of looked at to just make it as safe as possible. At the same time, while we're talking about this particular development, 500 feet south down Webster, an even larger lot has been sold. 500 feet to the east, an even larger lot has been sold. So we could sort of imagine that in the next couple of years, we're going to have dozens of more units coming, sort of adding more people to this area where there is no, at present, infrastructure for them. There are no sidewalks, there are no streetlights, etc. And of course, when you're going to be moving that many people there who no doubt will want to go use Bilquist School, which is down the road, you can sort of start to think about the possible future accidents. The other thing is this sort of traffic and speeding is getting worse. It has been the last few years. We presume it's going to get worse. And this particular junction is used where motorists who are coming down I-205 will then cut across routes Webster, Jennings to get to I-99. We're also seeing future work on the I-205 expansion. You've probably heard about the tolls. And so we're seeing more traffic going through there. And these are people who are just passing through. You know, they're not living here. And the speeding that's occurring, I just want to sort of comment about that, because we understand with this project approval that the report that was sent out to us has been approved with conditions. And the conditions does acknowledge that it's a high traffic area, and that that some sidewalks will be coming to part of this development on the routes bit. The report also mentions the future installation of a traffic light. It also mentions a crossing, a street crossing. This is all great, but the point that the neighbors and I wanted to bring up is we have a serious issue with motorists launching their car so they'll come to a stop, and then they launch their car off as fast as they can. If you've ever watched the movie Fast and the Furious, there's reference for a 10-second car that can do a quarter mile in 10 seconds. That's what we have here. Cars launch off, either heading down to where Jennings is or heading down routes. Come down for the day. You can see it. You can hear it. It's constant. And we wanted to bring this up because the entrance to this housing development is, 30 yards from where the cars are launching off. And so the greatest concern is that a child or family member of this development runs after a ball, and, you know, that's it. It's over. That's our main concern. And the time that we did have to sort of review the report, I think a few of us just weren't too sure if this particular concern could be addressed. And that's sort of why we wanted to appeal today, was to just sort of bring this up and to see if we could for example, getting the sheriff records who could sort of give us the data on how many accidents that they're seeing. If there was a possibility of doing, there was a traffic site survey recently where they came and explored everything for a sidewalk project, which is happening in a few years between routes and basically going past the Billquest School. Was there any data from that? Could that be looked at to sort of get an indication of this increased traffic or any increased speeding? Could there be a look into other things to maybe curb this dangerous traffic? Speed bumps, a speed camera, you know, sort of something like that. And to really just sort of see that these thoughts have gone in, because the obvious concern is that as traffic continues, as more developments are appearing, and if years go by where we don't have this infrastructure, sidewalks and street lights, traffic lights, etc., that there's just going to be a fatal accident. And that's really sort of the gist of this. Yeah.
And thank you, sir. I believe I understand your concerns, and I'll look to a couple of things here, but I'll review your comments. And are you planning on submitting a copy of the sheriff records to the record in this hearing?
Absolutely. I got it this morning. They appear to have sent me a spreadsheet. I haven't had the time to analyze it, but it does appear to have a full record of accidents within the last 2 years of a quarter mile from the Roots and Junction corner. Happy to pass that on. We'll also send you my statement. It's just a one-page file. Well, yeah.
Before I close this hearing, I'll make sure to make a statement explaining how to go about that. All right?
Thank you.
All right. The applicant, I'd like to provide the applicant an opportunity to present evidence, including testimony in support of the application. We'll use the raise hand feature if you'd like to be the person speaking. I see the applicant. Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Cox. I wasn't sure if you wanted me to use the raise hand feature or just others in the group, so I figured it would be better to be safe.
Well, it's a large pool, so I was looking. Sure. I'm looking for you as the applicant to sort of organize that.
Absolutely. For the record, my name is Emily Ryman. I'm the CEO of Dev Northwest. I am joined by several members of my team, including three representatives from GMA Architects and two of our development project management staff, Sarah and Tara, all of whom are here to answer questions if they arise, but I will be providing the bulk of our testimony today. I want to start by just acknowledging Mr. Fitzgerald and really appreciating the time and attention that you're paying to your neighborhood. Dev Northwest is not just an affordable housing developer. We are a larger community development corporation, and that means that our work includes not just building housing, but also projects like neighborhood revitalization for underdeveloped communities or communities that have been historically disinvested in. We also do a lot of work with first-time home buyers above and beyond the units that we build. We're also working with a lot of others who want to be home buyers because they want to have a neighborhood where they can put down roots and where they can invest in themselves and their kids and their neighbors and their community. So I just want to open by saying that and acknowledging that although affordable housing is incredibly important to us and central to our role, our view of the world is also bigger than that. And we believe that a lot of strength in communities starts with committed neighbors and strong neighborhoods. So I applaud your efforts there. I would be excited for this neighborhood to have a neighborhood organization formally again. I think those are important organizing features for our communities. By way of a little bit of background, Dev Northwest builds both affordable rental and affordable housing for ownership. That is relatively newer because the state of Oregon only introduced public subsidy for affordable home ownership about 4 years ago now. Home ownership has been a core part of our business model and a core part of our services for many years before that. So we were thrilled to be able to incorporate it into our development as well. We do use, as Mr. Blessing said, a community land trust model, which just very briefly is a legal model that divides the land underneath the homes from the homes themselves. Dev Northwest retains ownership of the land in trust in perpetuity, and we sell the homes with a 99-year ground lease to the future buyers, who are below 80% of median income. That ground lease has a nominal monthly fee to help us pay things like common area maintenance, but it's usually in the ballpark of $70 to $90. It is not like, you know, you hear sort of the horror stories of like mobile home parks with the rents rising, and that is not what the ground lease is about. That 99-year ground lease also resets at sale or at inheritance of the property. So nobody ever has to worry about the, you know, fourth generation running out of that 99-year lease. It is meant to be in perpetuity. And the owner or the buyers who buy from us at that affordability threshold of 80% area median income agree in that ground lease that when they sell the unit, they will sell it again at that same affordability point. So these units will be owned again in perpetuity by lower income home buyers in Clackamas County. The other thing that means is that Dev Northwest remains involved in the project long term because we are the owners of the trust. We are involved in helping home buyers with ongoing or longer term maintenance issues. You know, when they get ready to replace a roof, we can help provide some technical assistance around that. We also manage long-term maintenance reserve accounts for the houses, so we can help fund some of those longer-term capital needs. We can help occasionally with, you know, neighbor disputes if they arise. We also do approve things like improvements to the home, including fences. So owners of these houses can, in fact, build fences on their property. They just have to get an okay from us for the design and the materials that they're using so that we can make sure that the fence that they're building doesn't impose on their neighbor or their neighbor's property or things like that. But the future buyers will absolutely be able to fence their yards if they so choose. And of course, they have to be in keeping with local code also. So we can run a double check on that and help make sure they're familiar with the local codes. You know, we do a lot of work when we choose a site, because, property is expensive these days and our, public funding is in short supply. So we have to be very strategic about the sites that we choose, and the property that we buy and the likelihood of us being able to receive that public funding to build the future community land trust homes. We were fortunate enough several years back to receive some community development block grant funding from Clackamas County, specifically to build our first cottage cluster or land trust community in Clackamas County. And so that started a bit of a clock for us in looking for the right parcel that we could find that felt like it was suitable for single family homes, near transportation lines, near schools, near other residential communities. So there are a lot of different factors that go into that evaluation. Mr. Fitzgerald had pointed out in a letter that some of the other community land trusts that we have built that he looked up are indeed, you know, on dead end streets or on lower traffic streets. That is true. Some of them that we build are that way, but not always. We have a couple that are under construction now in both Eugene and Corvallis that are on busier streets, even highways sometimes. We do try to take that into account in the site design. And just as with this site, we try to build internal roads to the development and private streets so that the driveways and the homes are oriented to a less busy traffic pattern. And we try to make decisions like in this case, you know, not deciding to try to mitigate wetlands and increase the density on the parcel, but going with a slightly smaller community because it felt like that was the right move for the neighborhood, for the traffic patterns and other considerations that we use. So we've really been appreciative of the partnership with Clackamas County staff throughout this whole process, helping us navigate those decisions, those regulations and requirements related to the site. We feel really confident in the plan that we have and in the process that we followed. So we hope that we can get to a point after this hearing to move forward as timely as possible. We know these homes are desperately needed in the community. And we're trying to put new affordable homes out as quickly as we can to meet that need. 10 units seems like a drop in the bucket, but to the 10 families who get to move into those units, it will be life-changing. And so we'd like to move forward as quickly as possible. I did want to offer a couple more clarifications. I did want to provide that clarification about the fences because I know that was a concern for Mr. Fitzgerald and the neighbors. I also just wanted to point out that because of Dev Northwest's longer term involvement in the project and also because of our commitment to neighborhood revitalization, we absolutely will be willing partners with the county moving forward on traffic changes and safety changes as that whole area develops. A lot of what you and the neighbors, Mr. Fitzgerald, I think are hoping for is outside the scope of an affordable housing development, certainly outside of the funding streams that we can access. But we work all the time with jurisdictions to try to make improvements to the surrounding neighborhood, including streets. We also work in communities where there are safe routes to schools groups. We try to work very closely with those neighbors. We just signed an easement with the city of Corvallis to be able to put in a traffic light adjacent to our property and make some sidewalk improvements. So I just want to say that to you and to the rest of the neighbors as you're talking with them. We, you know, again, because it's a land trust, we are part of this project for the long term, and we're part of the Clackamas County community for the long term. And so we want to be good partners as the county has opportunities to make those improvements that you're talking about. We will certainly be a willing partner if it needs anything at all from us or from our property in terms of easements or access or other things like that. With that, I think I will conclude my remarks. But again, my team is here to answer questions if there are anything more specific. And I would just close with a request that we are hoping that the record can be closed, if not today, then very shortly. So again, we can move forward with this project in as timely a fashion as possible.
Are you proposing to add a traffic light to your application?
No, we're not. I'm just saying that in future, as the county is making adjacent improvements, we want to be willing to work with them. We're certainly not going to put up roadblocks to the county being able to do that.
I just wanted some clarity. It was a little open there. Do you have someone else that you would like to have provide input, testimony, or argument in support of your application?
I guess I would look to my team to ask if anybody feels like there's a point that I missed. Nope. Okay. I think we're good.
Did the county have anything to add on this?
I just wanted to add, and I should have mentioned it at the beginning, we have with us Ken Kent,
yeah.
Transportation Engineering. And I guess, you know, both the appellant and the applicant's statements made sense. I think, Ken, do you, unless Ken has something, I don't think I have really anything to respond to that. I mean, it's all kind of written in the staff report, but Ken might be better able to answer that.
Sure, I can sort of address some of that for the record. I think maybe just a brief overview on for a subdivision application, the county has standards within the zoning and development ordinance that we do evaluate capacity of the roadway system that's supporting a subdivision. So that would be, the intersections in the vicinity that would may take additional traffic from a development site. And in part of that, we set up a standard in the county's roadway system where there's a threshold for the need for a traffic study only in cases where a development's going to generate 20 or more peak hour trips in any one of the peak hours. So any and this particular development, it doesn't meet that threshold. It's below 20 trips. There is some discretion in that's left to the road official in terms of if a traffic study is needed for an identified safety issue or some other known issue that may warrant a review by a traffic engineer. But in terms of the basic capacity, it's typically anything that doesn't generate the 20 peak hour trips is deemed as not having significant impact on intersections and would be it would meet the standards. As noted by Mr. Fitzgerald, that I believe the applicant as well, the county has a long-term plan for a traffic signal at the Roots and Webster intersection, and part of this development was required to dedicate some right-of-way and provide for that future alignment. And so that is, it's identified to deal with the long-term traffic impacts of development all over in that region, not necessarily just this site. So there were not specific mitigations for this project, related to traffic or capacity. The determination to not require a traffic study, was based on the trip counts and also just the traffic engineer's familiarity with the intersections in the vicinity. So effectively, we look at, in this case, the site access onto Roots Road and whether that meets standards in terms of spacing and safety, site distance. And so, based on that, we found that it meets those criteria. I mean, in terms of addressing larger scale traffic impacts. I mean, there's other opportunities, at least for the neighborhood and the community, looking through working with possibly the county's traffic safety commission as far as any other, short-term mitigation, because obviously, it may be a number of years before a signal is actually constructed. You know, as he's mentioned, the appellate mentioned that the county is looking at a sidewalk project sort of north of Roots Road on Webster. There is a longer-term project to also construct sidewalks and bike lanes, south of Webster, but that's a little further out in the process. So there are some improvements in the road, on that road system, but working through the traffic engineering section or with the traffic safety commission would be some opportunity to look at concerns for the time being of operations on those roadways and intersections that may be above the scope of this particular project. I think that covers everything. If there are any other questions, you can address those.
Thank you, sir. Before I close the hearing, is there a request to keep the record open to add additional materials, written materials, for me to consider in this matter? From the appellant, yes?
Yeah, just a very general question about that. I was just wondering if, obviously I appealed, so I've been getting emails and letters about this. I was just wondering if my neighbors, basically the people who were informed about this at the very beginning, have they been given a chance to submit a written statement? I'm just basically asking if they've had the chance to pass on their comments, obviously if they could not be here right now with us.
I received written comments from a few people. Bruce Fontaine, Brian and Kevin Johnson. I believe that's it.
Okay, wonderful. I was just making sure because obviously...
yourself and Nancy, is it Cho? Yeah.
Nancy Cho, that's the wife, yep.
Okay. So you did say you had a written statement you wanted to submit and copies of traffic safety reports that you had received. How much time do you need for me to keep the record open for you to submit those?
I can submit them within the hour.
So by 4 p.m. today is plenty of time.
Yeah.
Okay. Did the applicant want an opportunity to review and rebut those materials?
I'm going to look to my architectural team.
I think I have to raise my hand, but this is Joseph Moore, GMA Architects, 860 West Park, Suite 300, Eugene, Oregon, 97401. I think it would be wise to have a nominal amount of time to review any additional documentation.
Let me provide a little more detail. Keeping the record open until 4 o'clock today this is the day of the hearing. So that's not an extension to me of the time period for this hearing. That is just I'll receive additional materials by 4 p.m. today. What I would normally do, if there's a request for the record, I would keep the record open for an additional 7-day period for any party to submit new evidence, new materials to the record, a second 7-day period for the parties to rebut that period, and then a final 7-day period for the applicant to have a last word. So 21 days total. What can happen there is, I noted that the applicant, is it Ryman?
Yes.
Okay. And asked that, was hoping that the record would close as soon as possible. I understand that. So my plan was to ask if you would want to just waive your last word 7-day period. Then that gets us to 14 days if the record's going to stay open for additional materials and a rebuttal period. The appellant said that he would have it in today. So there's no need to extend the record past today But if I do, then I would offer the opportunity for the full 7 days plus a 7-day rebuttal period. That's about as clear as a lawyer can get.
Is it possible to have just the 7-day rebuttal period and not the 7 additional days for new material and the 7 final days?
Mr. Fitzgerald, what the applicant is suggesting is that they're not asking to submit new materials, new evidence to the record or new argument. They would like to have a 7-day rebuttal period of your additional materials you submit today as a last word. If you don't have anything that you would like to rebut that they did today, do you need additional time is what I'm asking you.
Thank you. I personally don't think that I need any more additional time. My plan was to make my statement today, hand everything over, and then just carry on with my life. But I will say that I obviously can't speak to the neighbors, the community. There was also conversations with the Jennings CPO and the Oak Grove CPO, I think. They're also interested in this project because members of them are also on the water board with the Kellogg Creek going through this. I have had conversations with them, but I cannot speak to I can't speak for them should they want a bit more time.
Sure. And to be direct about it, somebody has to be here to request such a thing for themselves, really.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah. I expect that the applicant will just have a last word period, and we'll just call it that, of 7 days. Can I do that like that? That's a little different.
I believe so. What I was going to say is, we have the 120-day clock is September 28th. So that would give almost 5 weeks. So as far as I know, that could be a possibility where the record just closes today and then there's just a 1 week rebuttal period and then the hearing closes today.
And then 1 week rebuttal after the last word.
Exactly. Right. It seems sufficient. As far as I know, that would be fine.
It does to me. It seems like the issues here are pretty clear. It's about the safety of those roads. And thank you for expressing your concerns, Mr. Fitzgerald. Okay. So that is what we're going to do. I will receive Mr. Fitzgerald's additional materials. Those materials will be submitted to the county directly to you. Have Mr. Blessing's email?
I do.
You can submit them to Mr. Blessing. Would that be okay, Mr. Blessing?
That'd be fine. Yeah.
You'll post them to Excella and forward them to Ms. Ryman, the applicant, and she'll have till 4 p.m. next Thursday. What is that date?
That's already the 1st of September.
September 1st. Okay, 4 p.m. September 1st.
Hey, Mr. Cox, just I may be wrong here, but are we allowing testimony from the neighbors?
No additional materials. Only the people that were present today.
Okay.
I didn't receive a request from anyone about that, so it's just not fair to the applicant to just open it up to the public. This was already noticed 3 times now. In a way, there were earlier hearings about your approvals of the sort of preliminary applications that those ended. I think the appeal period ended at the first week of August.
Right.
That's come and gone. This is the one that we have an appeal for, which is the short subdivision itself. And we have an appellant who had an opportunity to participate in the process, and we'll have the same opportunity to submit the documents that we discussed. Then, as I stated, we'll just have this rebuttal period. All right. Any other questions?
I do have just one other question, and that's it. And with this last word period, I appreciate you clarifying that. If the applicant determines that they've made their response an adequate response in less than that 7 days, would that period then end upon acknowledgement of that, or is it mandatory 7 days?
Yes, you can still submit a statement just waiving any additional time period.
Okay. Thank you.
It's up to you. I will accept that at its word. I waive my additional time. Okay. Any other questions? I don't want to see a new evidence submitted with that. Just rebuttal. All right. Thank you all for participating in this hearing. Thank you, Mr. Fitzgerald, for your community involvement, and wish you luck getting the CPO back up and running and involved in these land use decisions.
It looks like a lot of work. You're sort of beginning to wish I didn't open this can, you know.
Okay. Well, thank you, sir. With that,
thank you very much, everyone.
I'll close this hearing. The record will stay open perhaps as long as 4 p.m. September 1st.
Thank you all. Goodbye.
Thank you.